Jesus is speaking to a crowd when a lawyer in the crowd poses a question to Jesus. The lawyer asks this question: "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus asks him to explain what the scripture says on this matter. And the man replies, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus tells him, "You've got it. You understand." But the man pushes on and asks, "Just how exactly do you define what a neighbor is?" And so Jesus tells a story. A man is traveling on a dangerous road, the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and robbers ambush him. They beat him, they take everything he owns, and they leave him naked in the road, half dead. A priest is traveling on that same road, and when he comes to the man, he just walks around him and continues on. A little later, another holy man, a Levite, he does the same thing and continues on. Then a third man, this man is from Samaria. He comes along and he discovers the victim, and the Samaritan is moved to pity. He performs some basic first aid and then lifts the man up onto his donkey and transports him to an inn and cares for him there. The next day, the Samaritan, he's got to move on, so he leaves money with the innkeeper with instructions to care for the injured man. And the Samaritan tells the innkeeper that he will be back and that he will reimburse him for any additional expenses. Jesus then asks that lawyer in the crowd, "Which of these three people, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which of these was a neighbor to the victim?" And the lawyer responds saying, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." The purpose of the Gospel of Luke is not just to teach us about Jesus, but also about Jesus' message, specifically how we are to exemplify the kingdom of God. Today's sermon is the final one in a 3-week sermon series that I've called Do Unto Others. And in this series, I focused on Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, actually just the middle third of the Sermon on the Plain. And in this sermon, Jesus provides us with a description of what it is like to live in God's kingdom. The lawyer wanted to know how he might attain eternal life. Eternal life is another way to describe God's realm or God's kingdom. So, what is the kingdom of God like? God's kingdom is where neighbors are loved. God's kingdom is where the enemies are loved as well. In the kingdom, we are to do good to those who hate us. In the kingdom, we are to bless those who curse us. In the kingdom, we are to pray for those who abuse us. In the kingdom, we are to lend freely and expect nothing in return. In the kingdom, we are to help others without calculating the cost. In the kingdom, we are to love God with all our heart and soul, strength and mind. In the kingdom, we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And today, for this final sermon in this series, I want to circle back and focus on a very short verse that we encountered 2 weeks ago. And this verse is the single most radical statement that I believe we will find in all of our Holy Scripture. The verse I'm talking about is Jesus' command, give to everyone who asks from you. Give to everyone who asks from you is a simple, powerful, radical command. It is one that would upend the world if we were to practice it. This week I ran this verse past my clergy group, and immediately they started throwing out qualifiers. What's the person asking for? Do they deserve what they're asking for? Should they even have it? I pointed out to them that Jesus doesn't place any qualifiers here. Jesus simply says, give. For my clergy group, for all of us, this is truly a difficult concept to wrap our heads around, giving to anyone who asks. It makes us wonder, what kind of world would that lead to? And more importantly, what would happen to each of us, to me? Would people take advantage of me? Would I end up just giving everything away? Would I die hungry and destitute? That is what we fear, isn't it? But these are the wrong questions. Jesus is talking about living in the kingdom, not on earth. What is life like in this kingdom? So I posed this verse to my friend John Grant. Many of you know John. He's a pastor here in Lebanon and now serves as director of the homeless ministry called Compassionate Hands. John and I discuss this command of Jesus. And John pointed out that giving, that's the heart of Compassionate Hands ministry. People come to him with their needs and the ministry seeks to meet those needs. But, he said, while they always give to people, they don't necessarily give what they ask for. He said, you don't give cash to an addict. That is not good for them. If they want food, you go and get food with them. Helping people, he points out, helping people, it can be tough. You try to give with love and with mercy. And John said it requires lots of prayer. Our reading for today, it concludes with the command, be merciful. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That lawyer at the beginning, he asked, who is my neighbor? And the answer that he realized is the one who shows mercy. To live in God's kingdom, we must seek to emulate the ruler of that kingdom, the king. And that is God, and God is merciful, and we should seek to be merciful in the same way. God loves those who even do not love back. And so should we. God gives to those who ask. So should we. God gives with great mercy. So should we. As those who are seekers of the kingdom, we know that we will encounter people who are opposed to this kingdom. There will always be those who are threatened or frightened by just the possibility of God's realm. These people prefer to inhabit their own kingdoms, which are built on power and intimidation, where the weak are abused by the strong, where wealth is not shared, but instead it is hoarded. But Jesus urges his followers not to judge those people, not to judge those who may hate us. Because when we judge, we fall into their trap. We become like them. Do not judge, Jesus says. Do not condemn. Instead, forgive. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. The way we act towards others will be reflected back on us. And then Jesus offers a parable to help us understand this. He says, A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Now, this is an obscure little parable. Most of us don't really know what he's talking about, but I want you to think of a merchant. A merchant who's there in the market. And you go to this merchant to buy grain. And this merchant measures the grain into his basket and then pours it into yours. But this merchant is particularly honest and generous. Instead of quickly pouring out the grain, he wants to make sure that you get what you paid for. So he fills his basket. Then he gives it a shake, lets everything settle down, presses down on the basket, shakes it again, tops it off. It's even overflowing, and then pours out into your container. What we give, we will get back. For those who live the principles of God's kingdom, God will pour out on them the power of that kingdom. I want to end today with a story told by Rachel Romeo. And to best understand this story, you need to know a little bit about this woman. Rachel Romeo is a neuroscientist. Specifically, she is a developmental cognitive neuroscientist. She is also a speech language pathologist. And her area of focus is language development in children. She graduated from the University of Pennsylvania, summa cum laude. She earned her PhD at Harvard. She is presently a postdoctoral fellow at MIT. And all of this points to someone who is extremely smart and exceptionally qualified in their field. And late this summer, Dr. Romeo had an experience that she shared with the world online. In August, just a couple months ago, she was flying back to Boston from a conference overseas. And she explains that the flight was 8 hours long. And she got onto the plane, went to her assigned seat, and there, sitting next to her, was a father and his son. And the boy appeared to be about 10 years old. And when she sat down, the father, in very broken English, immediately began to apologize / warn her that his son had severe nonverbal autism and that this would likely be a difficult journey. Dr. Romeo assured him that he need not worry, that she was a speech-language pathologist and she had lots of experience with children just like this. Children who were minimally verbal. As the father predicted, even before takeoff, the boy began exhibiting challenging behavior, screaming, hitting her, grabbing for her things. And she said the father repeatedly apologized, but he did little else. Now, at this point, Dr. Romeo, like any of us, had a choice. She could have done her best to just ignore the child and, you know, turn her back and attempt to endure this extraordinarily long 8-hour flight. And no one would have blamed her. This wasn't her child. This wasn't her patient. This wasn't her problem. But she didn't do that. Instead, she chose to give. She asked the father how his son preferred to communicate. She said the father didn't seem to understand this question. Maybe it was the language barrier, but she really believes that instead this child had very little experience with communication therapy. And so she asked the father for permission to try something, and he nodded yes. One of the tools available to a speech-language pathologist is AAC, which is short for Augmentative and Alternative Communication. AAC is defined as the use of other methods to replace or support verbal communication. The users of AAC are those individuals that have difficulty expressing their thoughts and ideas verbally. And the reasons for this may be cerebral palsy, autism, apraxia, muscular dystrophy, or something else. One form of alternative communication is to use an AAC device. That's what they call it. A typical AAC device is a form of electronic tablet, which has a screen, and on the screen are pictures or pictograms, and the individual can touch a picture, and the device will speak the word for them. And these devices can be as simple or as complex as the individual needs. Now, Dr. Romeo did not have one of these devices with her, so she first tried using her laptop computer by pulling up basic pictures and images of basic nouns. But it quickly became clear to her that the screen bothered this boy. It was just too much visual stimulation for him, so she closed the computer and pulled out a notepad and a pen, and she started drawing. She made a symbol for the things he was grabbing, his stuffed penguin, for example, his father over here. And she reports that this worked. The boy took to it quickly. And by the end of the flight, the boy had begun to initiate requests, and his behavior had reduced noticeably. She says the father was simply astounded at this. No one, it seems, had ever tried such an approach with his son. And she gave the paper to the father and showed him how to use it and make symbols. And she says he nearly cried. Now, as I said, Dr. Romeo was under no obligation whatsoever to do anything. She could have just endured the flight like any of us. But instead, she chose to give. All of us possess this basic desire to communicate, to express a thought, to share our feelings, to connect with another person. But here on that plane was this child trapped by his inability to communicate. Just imagine the frustration and anger and fear that welled up inside of him day after day. It's no wonder that he screamed and kicked and hit. Who wouldn't? But Dr. Romeo gave him something, a key to communicate, maybe a key to a new way of life. She does point out that any speech language pathologist could have done what she did, but that child had never met one. In Scripture, Jesus commands us, give to everyone who asks from you. And our first thought is to worry about people taking our money from us, but there is so much more that we can give. We can give compassion. We can give our time. We can give our expertise. However, as we see in the stories of the Samaritan, as well as this boy on the plane, we don't need to wait for a verbal request. Sometimes the person who needs help is unable to ask. Those people who exemplify God's kingdom, they live in such a way that giving is just second nature to them. When we love God with our whole heart, we give instinctively. Giving to everyone who asks doesn't mean just waiting for someone to come up and ask us for $5. It means living with an eye towards our neighbors, watching for the ways that we might respond to them with mercy. The Apostle Paul writes about loving God fully and completely. Paul says that no matter how much good that we might do, that's not going to bring us any closer to the kingdom unless we love God fully and completely. As Paul writes if I give away all my possessions, but do not have love, I gain nothing. We ourselves, we don't deserve to live in God's realm, but God invites us there anyway, because God is merciful. And if we ourselves desire to live in a world that reflects the qualities of this great kingdom, then we must treat others in a kingdom-like way. We must give, and give with mercy. Amen.